Hey, my name is John McGee. I'm the Director of Marriage Ministry here at Watermark, Director of Reengage. And if this is your first time here, just want to really let you know we're glad you're here. And you're welcome. And I look forward to just in the coming weeks to introducing you to some friends who are just kind of journeying on with their own marriage and just kind of seeing the ways that God has never let them walk alone. And you're going to really enjoy just kind of being a part of this community if you choose to do so and just hearing how God has shown up. So. This is my bride, Pam, of 16 years, and so yeah, you can give it up for Pam. clap for me, the clap for you. So tonight we're just going to share a little bit, and generally what happens at Reengage is kind of one time a month we'll just open up our Bibles and just kind of look and see what God has to say about marriage, and three times a month we just kind of hear stories of what God's been up to in our marriages, just to remind us that God still changes lives. And so we're somewhere kind of in between tonight. It's more of we're calling it kind of a grab bag night. So if you guys ever go to Dollar Tree, we're probably one of the you guys probably don't go to Dollar Tree, but if my kids have a buck, they want to go to Dollar Tree oftentimes. The younger they are, the more there's a gravitational pull towards Dollar Tree. And so we go in there, and they have these things called grab bags. And so they're color-coded, blue and pink. Blue for boys, pink for girls. And so you can pay a buck, but you have no idea what you're getting in there. And so there's a thrill to my kids to know, what piece of junk am I going to get, for a buck. And so what's great about the grab bag is they're obviously kind of moving their slow product, right? But you get more than a dollar's worth, or more than a retail dollar's worth. Probably doesn't cost, more than 10 cents to make everything in the bag, including the bag. But they're excited, and they got more than they bargained for. They don't know what's in there, and sometimes they got to sort through some different things, and there's generally one thing in there that they're really really excited about. And so that's really kind of tonight what we kind of hope to do. Not that this is worthless junk, but there will be kind of one thing in here that I think might just go, yeah, you know what, I just need to be reminded of that. I knew it, I heard it, I just need to be reminded of that. I need to do that. I could teach that lesson. I just need to do it, and it's just good for me to be reminded. And so we'll rattle off a few different things, and so just kind of popcorn. And so I just encourage you to go, yeah, what's the one or two things God would have us kind of double down on in our own marriage, and then most specifically just kind of for ourselves? Okay, what would God have me double down on, start again, a new practice, a scripture to be reminded of, an attitude or posture in my heart? Okay, so we'll get going. We brought a grab bag. Actually, did anybody have a anniversary this week? Anybody? Okay. Golly. Okay. Let's do this. Who? Anybody less than 2 days away? 2 days away. When was yours? Yesterday.
Friday.
So it's coming up Friday. So anybody less than one day? Tomorrow. So yesterday and tomorrow. Okay, so how long have you been married? We're going long. I decided in my head, the longest gets it. So how many years have you been married?
I've been married for 5 months and 6 hours. And
what do you think? You guys got it? 4 years. All right. Well, if you'll come up, you come up and grab this real quick. We've got, it's worth more than a dollar in here. So you can be excited. It's kind of a miniature date in a bag. All right, and congratulations, 4 years. Way to go. All right, yeah, give it up. All right, well, here's just a few random thoughts, kind of in no particular order. Okay, first one is, I think something that Pam and I are learning, relearning, is that marriage is hard. All right, newsflash for some of us. Marriage is really, really hard. And so a passage we talk about a lot in here is 1 Corinthians 7:28, and Paul says, I want to spare you of these things, talking about marriage. He said, because those of you that marry will have trouble. And as far as we know, that's the only promise about marriage in the entire Bible. And we've just known, we've experienced that promise from God, and that marriage has been hard for us. Sometimes it's harder than others. Sometimes sometimes not so hard. But we've been just kind of coming through the fall. We got four kids and six sports, kind of caring for a mom who is a widow, and just all the kind of some of the craziness in her life. It's been a really hard fall, and we've had to fight extra hard to be kind of one with each other. And it's meant asking a lot of forgiveness. It's meant repenting a lot, just kind of laughing at some of our mistakes. And so as I walk with other couples, I mean, I'll be honest. I think there's one of the things I've noticed is that some marriages are just set up more difficult than others, and that is just a fact. Some marriages are just going to have an easy go of it just because of who came to the table, the way their personalities, some of their backgrounds, some of the circumstances that surround them. It's just a little bit easier run. And some people are just have a more difficult go just from day one, just baseline, just the way they started, right? And so you guys know I run, and I there's just guys that will never ever run, and they will go out and at race day they will smoke me. I mean, absolutely smoke me. And that's just the way it is. I train hard to get off the couch and do what I can. You know, just don't have a runner's build. I was a slow offensive lineman in high school and in college, and so I just don't have much hope of being a world class sprinter. But I work and do what I can. But it's just going to be hard for me, and for some of us, marriage is just going to be extra hard. And so if we come into it with that mindset and that mentality, it kind of softens the blow a little bit to go, there's nothing wrong with me inherently. This is in the scripture. Marriage is hard, especially just knowing that there's two sinners. I mean, we have a hard enough time managing ourselves, walking with God by ourselves, but we marry another sinner. There's just going to be friction. It's going to be hard. So do you have any thoughts on that?
I remember one time hearing you say, marriage is more excruciating than I ever thought. And there was this long pause, but it was more exhilarating than I ever thought. And so I think being surprised probably at how hard it is, but then also being surprised at the depth and just how good it can be as well. And just because of that, I think it's part of the design of the Lord, just dependence on Him. And it really drives us to God just to meet our needs first. John can't meet all my needs and vice versa. Just the Lord can do that. And so really the design of just kind of that it is hard work drives us to the Lord first.
That's good.
So a second one.
Reach into the grab bag. Pull something else out. Yeah.
This one's very practical. And so just to hear, we'll give you some of our ideas on this, but really just kind of developing your own. So just developing a series of best practices, just really practical things that works for you. And so just some ideas for us, and these, again, just really practical and kind of small, some of them, but just realizing early on when John walks in the door at the end of the day, for me not to unload all my woes of the day on him in the first 5 minutes. Sounds small, but that's a big deal, just to greet him and just to let him have a little downtime, and then we can talk about that later. Another thing for us is, and we've done it through different times of our lives, is just have like a weekly or maybe bi-monthly meeting where maybe every Sunday night we know that we're going to sit down maybe for 30 minutes and look at our schedule and just kind of talk about things. And I kind of have a little to-do list for the week. And if I think of something I want to discuss with John, you know, good or bad, just something that can maybe wait, I'll put it on there so I don't forget, and vice versa for him. But that way you're not just every phone call, you're not making schedule plans. And, you know, on your date, you're not tempted to just talk about all these things. If you can kind of knock that out in kind of a business meeting, then that takes care of a lot of that. It also, like if you know, it helps me to overlook a small offense. If I know, if I can wait a few days, oftentimes, I can't remember even what it was that I was frustrated with the other day. And so maybe it helps me to overlook some small things. This is a big one for John, writing down the honeydews for him. And so if I just, every few days, give him four or five things I need him to do on the weekend, that does not bless him at all. But making a little list.
Anybody else feel that? Maybe you're like a prisoner in your own home.
Idea maybe for y'all. Just making a little list and... And then John just has his list, and he can just check it off.
It doesn't stress me out. If it's on the list, I will get to it, and I don't feel nagged. But if Pam looks me in the eye and says, this door isn't shutting like it is, and this light bulb needs to be changed, and kind of unloads on me, then I hate that. So there's probably this. Here's just a kind of a sinful part of me that we've just got to learn to manage. Okay, so I need to deal with that. But that stuff still has to get done. So we can't sit around and wait till I'm completely humble, and I can just, my wife can tell me things, because the house will fall apart. But if she'll put it down on the list, for whatever reason for us, us. It doesn't frustrate me at all. And so that's just been a best practice for us. And for all of us, there's going to be little things where there's just kind of friction points or times we continually kind of get wrapped around the axle. There's probably just a little lever we can pull, a little something different we can do that really will just kind of make that, be able to manage kind of that situation.
Right. Yeah.
Anything else? You know, one of the things for us too, with lots of kids now, we were finding that just kind of going out a date night, it would be a best practice, right? And kind of doing that, and we were finding that it took so much gymnastics to get babysitters and get all the kids lined up that we couldn't do that kind of the week of. And so literally, I mean, we are that couple now that we have to schedule like our date nights out for kind of this semester. So we will now go out. We'll schedule our date nights through to the summer, and we do a babysitting swap with another. We've got four kids, and so people with one kid don't want to do that with us. They want a four for one, and I'm not sending my wife over there four times. And so Scott Kadersha is on staff, and so they've got four rambunctious kids, and so we'll babysit swap with them. We just lay our calendars down and say, you guys pick, pick once a month. We'll pick once a month. We'll protect them and save them. And so those happen, and they're built in, and we don't have to scramble kind of each month to look for, some night that's clear and also set up a babysitter. So for us, that's been really, really helpful. So whatever it is for you, I think there's just a series of best practices that you can kind of, get ready and that will be really helpful. So another one for us, I think it's interesting, is just knowing how you react under stress. Okay, just a real. I put this under practical. I've heard like NASA astronauts, before they send them up into space, they put them through a bunch of different tests to see how people react under stress. Right. So if you go up and you're a million miles away from Earth, and one of your thrusters goes out, everyone's going to kind of freak out a little bit. Right. The oxygen meter starts to go down, and you're wondering if you're going to go back. People are going to hit the panic button. You want to know how is this person going to react. Right. And they need to know that about themselves. Okay. This is what I'm prone to do. And so we know that. We can all manage that. And we can then be at our best as we move through this together. I'm not going to tell you, good grief, you talk incessantly when you're stressed out, shut up. And that's what he does, and if we don't work together, we'll never get back to Earth kind of deal. So I know that about you. We're going to go. And I think the same thing in marriage, just kind of knowing how you're going to react, what your spouse is like when they get stressed, so that you can kind of manage yourself. So for me, kind of two things. One, I will get just kind of, I will kind of withdraw a little bit, right? So I just kind of get quiet. So stress is piling up at work or something in the family or, whatever's going on. And I will just kind of tend to withdraw. And so I don't want to communicate as much. I don't want to engage a little bit. So that's one of them. The other one is just, I just kind of get, kind of snippy. And so whatever, was a little bit deal, it's, you're eating, you're like, hey, this is overcooked, that's going to be my propensity to do that. Everything, you shut the door too hard, or you're 2 minutes late. That is my propensity when I'm stressed. And so knowing that helps us a lot. Just go, yep, that's what I do, and I've got to manage that. And Pam can just kind of go, I'm not going to excuse anything, but I kind of know that's what's coming, and I can point that out later, and I'm not going to be surprised or threatened by that.
Yeah. So mine is just I get kind of uptight and tense and naggy and pushy a little bit, which doesn't work well with his withdrawing, and so it's just can be a crazy cycle. And so just like John said, being aware of that and, just as we're commanded just to stand guard, be alert, the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants to devour me. He wants me to be stressed. He wants me to be worried and anxious and to not be a completer to my husband. And so just to be alert, and when I know that's coming, just to really guard against that and then to extend grace to each other.
That's good.
The expectations are powerful. Y'all would probably all agree, I think not even realizing how powerful expectations are, but just that we have an expectation about everything. So if you're doing the new curriculum, tonight's lesson is about expectations. And so just realizing that everyone has expectations, oftentimes they're different than your spouse's expectations. And so just working through those and realizing how important those are. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, A has a start. A hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And so really, there is just a disappointment and a frustration that comes with when expectations aren't met. Oftentimes they're not realistic, maybe, or not communicated, but still, if there's an expectation that plays into something, there will be an effect if it's not met. And so just really being aware of those, talking through those. So if y'all have that lesson tonight, that's some good stuff. And then holidays coming up, so expectations around holidays. Y'all would probably all go, oh yeah. There are often many tense moments and fights around expectations around holidays. So just communicating about them tonight, just saying, okay, I know we've done this for 25 years. Maybe this is our first, you know, holidays together. But just talking about the expectations of what that looks like is really a big deal.
Yes, always is the case. Holidays, right? For the woman, a lot of times it's a really special time, and especially around Christmas, right? I'm really looking forward to this. Celebrate Christ's birth. I mean, sometimes, you know, some of us really do a good job injecting Christ into that, you know, into the whole pomp and circumstances of Christmas. And for a lot of guys, it's the beginning of bowl season, right? So there's lots of great college football games kind of begin there, and that's what the holidays are about for us. And so coming into that, if your expectation is I'm going to catch every bowl game, and her expectation is that we're going to sit around and open presents slowly, one by one, and ooh and all over them, and have a devotions every night, you know, and look at the nativity. You have different expectations, okay? And so you probably want to talk about those before you go in. And he goes, you know what? I'm just going to go back to work early, blow this whole thing, right? Okay. A lot of that can be averted just by communicating your expectations. And so oftentimes we don't communicate them, and we get really, really frustrated. And all we have to do is just communicate ahead of time. On those. And so we'll be in the car going to Kansas City this week, and we will not wait to have, you know, we'll try not to get there and start reacting. We'll sit there and start talking about expectation with our kids as well. That's what we expect of you. Don't be a hellion and embarrass us like last year. Those kind of things. Yeah. Those kind of things. Yeah. Okay. Good. So another thing, this is an imagery that helps me to think about that. There are two merry-go-rounds kind of on our playground of marriage. Okay, and one of them is kind of the negative merry-go-round. Emerson Eggerichs calls it the crazy cycle. Okay, it's where she gets snippy, he gets angry, she, you know, does something, you know, demeans him, and he withholds his affections, and around and around and around it goes, right? And the other one is kind of this positive merry-go-round where there's investments in the relationship, there's affirmation, there's sacrifice, there's humility, those kind of things. And so as one does that, the other person on the other side of the merry-go-round has their foot down, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing. And generally, we tend to both be on those at the same time. Normally both of us kind of pushing. Sometimes we just sit down and just, you know, we can't tell which one we're on, and we're just, there's no inertia. But generally we're both on one of those, contributing to the spin of those. And what happens is if somebody's on, both of you are on kind of this, you know, this positive merry-go-round, as soon as someone hops off and hops on the other one, we tend to follow them over there and start pushing on that one. And so I will get critical of Pam, and she will give it back, and I will withdraw, and she will come after me and say, hey, you know, what's the deal? Why don't you engage in that? Well, I don't want to engage because you're kind of coming after me. That's not fun. And so I withdraw some more, and she does that, and then I might be critical, and she might, and we just kind of around and around and around and around we go. And when you're in one of those, it's sometimes can be really difficult to get off. And it takes kind of one person hopping off and saying, I'm not going to stay on that merry-go-round. I want to come on this one. And just saying, you can go. I mean, you can pedal this thing if you want. You'll look silly, you know, to be that kid on the playground all playing by yourself. But I'm not playing that game, and I'm going to come over here. And if you come over here, what you will get is acceptance and unconditional love and encouragement to the best of my ability. And I'm not going to talk about what happened over there. I want to push on this thing where there's positive, you know, not just emotions, but kind of genuine Christian love on this thing. And so I don't know about you guys, but we find ourselves when we're here wanting to make this thing go faster, right? And just kind of And I found this one doesn't need as much work to go fast. It just kind of has, there's less friction on this thing. And it just, one good push and it's off and running. It doesn't need a lot of work. This one takes a little bit more work. But when we're on this, especially if I see Pam pushing, I want to push even harder. And so that imagery has helped us go, no, I'm not going to do that, you know, or to Pam, I'm going to get off this crazy merry-go-round and come over here. And so that's been helpful to us, if that's helpful to you. Well, who's going to get off first, and who's going to start pushing on kind of the positive merry-go-round, right? The of Christian love. So there you go.
I was just thinking about the imagery, and remember being on a merry-go-round, and like when you want to get off, and it's kind of scary to jump because you might fall or something, but just taking that first step, just to get off before you get sick. I always got sick on merry-go-rounds, so getting off the negative one.
That's a positive connotation to me, yeah.
You know, speaking of merry-go-rounds and playgrounds, just that fun really is important. And so just looking at a couple of verses, Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine. Proverbs 5:18, rejoice in the wife of your youth. So just to not discount fun, and so just to really think about on those dates that you do start scheduling, that you'll go out and not talk about, you know, the kids the whole time or business stuff or the calendar or any of that, just to have fun. And even if there's conflict, and we'll talk about that in a minute, even if there's something going on, maybe just for a few hours to table that and just to talk about fun things and just to do something fun. And so the predictor of marital satisfaction, what is the statistic?
Well, so,
yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So a lot of times they'll kind of try to get on, like, you know, like you would study a business and you try to figure out why a business works, and they'll do that about marriage. And what's really interesting, a lot of times, one of the top two predictors, one of the top two things that will come out is that these couples have fun. So if a couple reports back, you know, whatever they run, however they measure that, hey, we really enjoy being married. Generally, one of the things that will show up on one or two is that they have fun. Right, and so you can tell a couple has fun. There's actually a good shot that they will enjoy being married. And definitely, there's a cause and an effect to that, right? So if you're fighting like cats and dogs, you don't tend to have fun. I mean, so that would make sense. But the more there is a chicken and an egg kind of component to that, and so I think couples that invest in having fun tend to do better, are able to handle conflict. So it's not an idol that we chase. Marriage isn't built solely to put a smile on our face. And yet, we're to rejoice in the wife of our youth, right? And I mean, that it is good for us to have fun with each other. And so for me, that's a little harder for work. Pam just kind of rolls out of bed generally, and, you know, it's party. Let's play a game. You know, she's always, let's play a game. We played Pit as a family, if you guys remember that game. And we had all the kids screaming with their commodities in the living room the other day. And it was just fun. And that's just kind of, you know, that's what Pam does. And so as a leader in the home, I've just got to work a little bit harder than she does to make sure that we have fun, make sure that we're laughing. And that actually, I was thinking about that day, that was actually one of our wedding vows. So was that we would see to it that each other laughed often. And so we were 22. We had no idea what we were doing. When we got married, come to find out, like, that was really genius to put in the wedding vows, and that fun can be highly underrated at times. And so think about that. If you haven't done anything fun, go do something fun. Okay, it doesn't have to be expensive or crazy, but just go have fun and be together. See if you can put a smile on each other's face, or even just wake up each day and just go, man, I'm going to see if I can make him or make her smile some point today, okay? And just see how far that goes to just kind of building goodwill with each other. So,
good. So another one, just that conflict is, it's a big deal, how we handle conflict. And so most of y'all have probably been through the little communication class, and it's just a big deal for John and I just to understand what it looks like to work well through conflict and communicate well. James 1:19 just commands us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so we've just got to get really good. It's crucial that we get very good at resolving conflict and at communicating with each other. And really, another best practice thing is just to really, when you're not in conflict, to talk about, so when you're in a good place, to talk about what it's going to look like when you're in a hard place. And so, hey, next time we get in some conflict, you know, what does that look like to call a timeout? What does that look like just to make sure we're not being a weenie, if you've been through the class. So just really getting a handle on conflict and understanding how to communicate with each other and seeking to understand each other, which is the goal of communication, is really, really important.
That's good. It's good. In our lives, those of you guys that are younger, your lives will drift towards complexity, not simplicity. And so we now don't have time for like 3 days of drama in our house because we got too much to do and too many kids to run different places. And so if we have a knockdown drag out, it kind of needs to last about 10 minutes. And so we've gotten crazy efficient, you know. It's like, I'm as mad as I've ever been. I've only got 10 minutes to talk about it. Okay, go. And so the better you can get at dealing with conflict, you can kind of shorten and compress that time, and rather than dragging it out, and really learn to see it as an incredible opportunity. I think early on in marriage, Pam and I ran from conflict. You know, there's what's the runaway?
Monty Python.
Monty Python. If you guys, it was before many of your time, there's a little guy and he's like, run away. And so that's kind of when we heard conflict. We just ran away from it. And now we say, no, we're like, run towards it. Okay. Like as a first responder, everyone else is running for the hills, and first responders show up and say, man, there's something that needs to be done here. We've got to address that. And so we need to be firefighters and not just kind of the, you know, like everybody else. And seeing conflict as an opportunity really changes things. So.
Well, and just the more work that we put into this and the more, just the more length of time that we've been working, the more trust that's established. We just see that. I really do believe that John wants to understand me, and that there is trust there that I can believe the best about him most of the time, and he can the same. And so, just knowing that conflict is not a scary thing, it really does move us closer to one. If it's hard for a little bit, but in the long run, it's worth it.
That's good. Sex for a second, just a quick tip, no visuals or positions, okay? That is not in the grab bag, yeah. So, four categories to think through when you think about sex, okay? The first one is atmosphere, and that's just kind of the general atmosphere of the relationship. Okay, so guys, I know this, like we're talking about sex, and now you're talking about the quality of the relationship. What's the connection? Okay, ask your wife. There's a connection, okay? Whether you understand it or not, okay? The atmosphere in the home, the quality of the relationship absolutely plays out in the bedroom, okay? So then the second one would be called arousal. And so that is the whole idea of, you know, both foreplay that's there in the bedroom, but even just kind of the playfulness that shows up throughout the day. And so, you know, guys, we tend to just kind of, you know, show up and, you know, I mean, if she's naked and has food, it's not blocking the TV, it's going to be, you know, a great night. And that's just kind of all, that's all we're thinking about. And she probably needs a little more runway for that, okay? And so just to think about ahead of time during the day, you know, and even when it comes to actually being intimate with each other, thinking about that, okay? Then in there is the apex, right? That's where there is climax. And so just kind of looking at that, not as a chance just for me to experience that, but also as a chance to kind of serve my wife or serve my husband in that, okay, and really come to that thing as a giver, not solely as a receiver. Although I think that there's a give and take, and both receiving and giving needs to happen in there, and that's where the best sex happens. Okay, and then last one is just kind of the afterglow. Okay, and so guys, we've talked about that. That's where you don't pick up the remote or your computer right after you're done doing your deal. Okay, and so just to stick around. Okay, and we've talked that there's an unwritten rule about what that is. It's different for everybody. You will know when it wasn't long enough. Okay, you'll just. You'll find out, I promise, okay? And so just to think, a lot of times you think, well, I've got a sex problem, or I want to have better sex. And so let's think about kind of the apex right there, right? And so what we need is a new position, or we need some, you know, she needs to wear something she hasn't yet, or whatever. And that absolutely can be a part of it. But I would just challenge you to think about even both sides of that. The atmosphere, the quality of the relationship, the arousal, kind of leading up to that, the apex, and then also the afterglow. Okay? So probably should land the plane. You have anything?
No, I don't.
On that? Okay.
You covered it.
Covered it. All right. Last one. Marriage takes work. And a lot of it. If you want to have a great marriage, it's going to take a lot of work. And like anything else in life, we see people that are really good at what they do, And we want that. We tend to gravitate towards people that can run fast, or they can make a lot of money, or they're really eloquent in the way they speak, or whatever it is. And we go, I want to be like that. But we don't really want to do a lot of the hard work behind it. And marriage really is the same way. If you see somebody that you go, man, now, always you generally don't know the whole story, so that's part of it. You never compare what you know about yourself to what you don't know about someone else. But if someone has got a great marriage, odds are they've really been working really, really hard for a really long time. And if you want that, you're going to have to do the same thing. Pam and I are going to have to do the same thing. And I heard a great story today. I was reading this guy, he took his kids over to a house, and they had this epic playground, you know, fort with like the slides and the rings and the jungle gym and the whole bit. And the guy was like, "This thing is awesome. I've got to have it for my family." And so he went home, you know, pulled his credit card out, ordered it, spent some significant cash, and then a few days later, showed up at his house, three gigantic boxes of wood, screws, and plastic. And he looked. He wanted the play fort thing. Instead, he got a box full of, you know, instruction screws and wood, plastic, and rope. And that's not at all what he wanted. He just wanted to put a smile on his kid's face and be happy and, you know, drink his coffee out there while they ran wild. And he didn't know he was signing up for several Saturdays to put that thing together. And that really is marriage. We see something else, we go, I want that. Well, there's a whole lot of work that came to getting it to a place where it can be enjoyed the way that person is. And so just, I want to encourage you guys, you're here. Man, so you are working on your marriage, and I just want to encourage you to keep going. Whatever the next step is, some of you guys are winding your groups down, and you still haven't been honest yet about what's really going on. Man, make tonight the night. Some of you guys are kind of going through the motions with your homework, and you're doing it, but you're not really kind of, and you're not praying through it. You're not having the conversations. You're not actually implementing the things that you do. I want to challenge you to work hard at it. Okay, some of you just still haven't been humble towards each other, and you haven't asked for forgiveness. You haven't, you're not very good at saying you're sorry. That's part of working on your marriage. Okay, you're here. You're taking a great step, and I want to applaud you. But I want to challenge you to continue to work hard. Okay, so that you've got a jungle gym of sorts that you enjoy being with. Okay, it's going to take a lot of work to get there. So.